Welcome to the Dr. Denise Show with your host, Dr. Denise McDermott.
I'm an adult and child integrative psychiatrist, passionate about changing the way we think, talk, and act about mental health.
And Emmy Award-winning anchor, Kathy O'Toole.
Using my years in local news to keep you connected, we'll stay sane in an insane world.
On this show, I will have pioneers, scientists, doctors, athletes, and important discussions about all things to do with multidimensional healing, positive mindset, and holistic health.
This is the Dr. Denise Show, and I'm so excited. I have my co-host here with me, Kathleen O'Toole, and joining us today is Michael Robison. Michael, how are you today?
I am doing great. I'm really, really excited to be here, Dr. Denise. Seriously, thank you.
Michael, oh, I'm finally meeting you.
I know, Kathleen. This is awesome. I've heard a million things about you. Denise talks about you like all the time and how amazing you are. So it really is an honor to be a part of this with you guys.
Oh, well, and it's such a kind of a fun way to meet, too.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. We all get to just share ideas and really talk about purpose and impact. I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, Kathleen and I, Michael, just so you know, we grew up together. So we've known each other since fifth grade. And Kath is coming out of retirement from being a news reporter. And I think one of the reasons we had you on the show is we really wanted to discuss the why and like why now, why she's coming on the show, why you and I are going to be doing work together. So Kath, can you give us an idea of why, like what your goals are with working together with me? And then we can integrate Michael as well.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's the same for both of you, but projects have come along that really didn't align with what I was trying to do with my family and with my future. And it's so easy to say yes to projects, right? But the difficult thing, the challenge that I did after I retired was to say no. And to use a lot of, Denise and I talk a lot of using this word discernment, using discernment to decide, I don't want to do that. That's not bettering my world. It's not bettering my life. I have to use my time wisely, right? And so
right.
when Dr. Denise started putting herself out there in, you know, she's always been seeing patients and always been changing the world. But when she tried to take this to a bigger audience, I saw how much love and how much care and discernment she used. And the comfort for me is that I've known her forever and I know what she's about and I know her as best as probably a dear friend could to her core, right? And I said, this is a project that I want to be involved with. There's such a lack of civility in this world right now. And the profession that I used to do is maligned. And I just feel like that there needs to be almost like a control alt delete, right? That's the old fashioned way of saying it. But there needs to be a realignment of what we think is acceptable as a culture, whether it be in our small communities or in our country or in the world, about what's acceptable and what's not. And you know, I want to be part of helping people stay plugged in. I don't mean to hijack everything, but a lot of people say to me, well, I don't listen to the news anymore. It's just too much. I can't take it. My
right.
neurostyle is such that I can't take it. And what I say is well, that's wonderful. And we do have to honor ourselves and what we can handle. But we also have a duty of being a citizen on this planet to monitoring
right.
what's going on and not completely unplugging, because that's how maniacal people take over when the masses
that's
say
exactly
it's just
right.
too much. I'm going to let everybody else kind of worry about that for me. I see it in my community. People, they just say, well, I just don't personally think that's acceptable. I think when we were born onto this planet, we have a duty to try to make it a better place. And when you unplug too much, you know, there's people in our society who are so at risk that they need to, but I'm hearing this as a matter of course now. And that's why I wanted to stand
right.
up and say, no, you cannot do that. Let's try to put things in where we don't have to have so much hyperbole and every tease to keep everyone around for the next, you know, click of the meter trying to analyze how many viewers are watching or listening. We don't have to be so sensational, but we do have to let people know what's going on in this world. Sorry, I could talk forever.
No, I love it. I think that's huge because you're right. So many people have just chosen to unplug versus plug into the right thing. And I think that's partially because few people are talking about what is the right thing and really helping people ask that question legitimately for themselves and really go through the discovery process of finding the answer. Because it's certainly not a one-size-fits-all.
No, it's not.
Denise, well, and what I want to say is I'm sitting here listening to both of you, and I like to be in the now, and I have this gratitude that I have Michael Robison, who is an entrepreneur, a father of seven, a past minister, a visionary. I've got Kathleen here, Emmy Award-winning news reporter, mother, friend. And the discussions I think that we're wanting to have is we think that all opinions matter and all perceptions matter. So when we're talking on this show, there's like a linear preciseness to our language. And I think what I want to encourage with Michael talking and Kath and whoever we have on is that all of us have a viewpoint and all of us have a perception. But how can we live on planet Earth and all encourage each other to be in our thrive zone and have it be as much of a win-win? I know it's not going to be that way. People are going to disagree. But I think what's happened is the way the linear language is and the way society's set up, it's just too black and white. I'm either this or I'm either that.
Mm. That's exactly right. You know, and I think that's one of the things that I love the most. In all of the conversations that we've had, you know, before now and conversations that we'll have moving forward is that we've all come to this place in a different way, in a different journey with, you know, different values and different beliefs and different understandings of the way we process the world. But what I love is because of care and love and mutual respect, and because we have come to a place where we understand the great need of just helping other people find fulfillment, to find satisfaction, joy, happiness, peace, you know, all and to wrestle with the, you know, their hardships, their struggles, their challenges in this world to overcome those barriers. We're all headed in the same direction of really adding value to people's lives. That at the end of this thing, it's about reaching the masses with some hope. And, you know, regardless of the journey that's brought us to that place, the respect for each other and what we bring to the table, I think that's what sets it apart the most is we didn't come to this table saying, hey, we all just absolutely agree about everything. We come to the table and say we agree about the most important thing, which is serving others, helping others, and giving hope to the world. And how we've arrived at that place is the fun part, is that we're going to share those journeys. We're going to share those experiences, the wisdom and the knowledge that we've gained in that process. And we're hopefully providing great value to the people who are going to interact with these conversations.
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in my kind of humble time here on Earth is that I think we learn the most when we're going through levels of suffering, betrayal, or fear. And I think society is resonating in a place of such fear and anger. And when I say society, I'm talking about all sentient beings. We need to shift. We can do this. And I kind of want, maybe if Michael, you can do a share, or Kath, you can, of a time in your life where you were going through a crisis or a suffering, and then you learned the most from that. And then that's when you were able to kind of gain momentum and shift things into love. And I think that's what I'd like to see happen with shows like this and discussions, like empowering people that you don't have to have learned helplessness when you turn the news on. You don't have to, when someone's mean to you, think, oh, gosh, I'm screwed. You can actually feel empowered and do something with that energy.
That's so true. You know, I was just telling
Michael, you pick it up first. Where's the time that you were challenged and it was, you know, you slogged through it and it really changed you?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, every journey, great ups and great downs, you know, and I mean, we're all going to experience that. And I think one of the things, I was just sharing this story. I just did a broadcast with a friend of mine on the subject of failure, which I think, you know, we're all going to experience. That's probably where we experience most of our pressing and our growth is through those moments of failure. And, you know, I told him, I remember in one of the companies that I was building, I had just in a matter of days, had made an appearance on national media, was talking about the company that we were building, you know, growing this incredible conglomerate. We had, you know, incredible investors coming along, support, you know, I was meeting with the who's who in the world of tech that I was working in. And I mean, it was one of the a lot of days you wake up and you pinch yourself and you're like, wow, this is amazing. This is an incredible journey. I can't believe I'm here. And literally the next day, got on a plane, did a red eye flight. The next day I walk into a meeting and the group of people that's building the company with decided that they wanted to take the reins of the company. And I got told the next day that I no longer had a seat at the table. And I remember from literally in a 24-hour time span doing national media appearances, meeting with who's who, the top of the top, to the next day sitting in my living room going, scratching my head going, I literally don't know what I'm going to do next.
How did this happen?
And you get that overwhelming emotion. And I think, you know, here's the thing that I think most people don't realize that where growth really happens. And I think what I love about the fact that we're in this conversation period is something that I've learned over the years is that we process emotion in everything that we go through, especially in moments of pressing and failure and disappointment, that there's so much, whether it's anxiety or fear or anger or all of the just these different things that we feel when we walk through. And in the past, I think this may be an indicator of a tiny bit of growth in my life over the years. In the past, when I experienced those things, I have a tendency to want to withdraw, to internally process, to kind of hide out until I figure out what's next and figure out how to handle the next phase of life and how am I going to share this failure and how am I going to talk about it? Or really what most of us do is how am I going to hide it so nobody really sees it and moving? And, you know, what I have learned over the years is that we don't heal emotionally and we don't grow emotionally or psychologically by ourselves. It does not happen alone. We have to have a relationship with other people. And I know in that season, probably the smartest thing that I did was go to the people who I knew I could lean into and say, these are the things I'm feeling. These are the disappointments. I can't believe I'm up against this. You know, here's where I'm at. And really what was amazing to me is the reset button was a lot easier to push in that season because I was with other people and I did that with others. And so, you know, when I look at that and I've got story after story of success and failure. I mean, I've had, you know, I had a business partner still hundreds of thousands, really right at $1 million out from under me, and left me hanging. And, you know, in those moments, what I found is that if I leaned into the network and relationship of other people to walk through those emotions, walk through those disappointments and stand back up again, it was a lot easier to kind of carry the burden through. And instead of this like, oh my gosh, hopeless moment, I saw it as, okay, it's just time to figure out the next, what is next? How do I not process this and stand up and keep moving? And what's really been fun about that is that, you know, everybody loves the comeback stories. Everybody loves the, you know, rising from the ashes type stories. And I don't feel like the stories I've been telling are necessarily comeback or rise from the ashes, but if that were the narrative, there was a very quick regeneration in those moments when I was with other people as opposed to doing it by myself. And that's what I love about these conversations is that we're inviting people to do this with other people as opposed to stay isolated and as opposed to hide out and try to process this yourself, because none of us really can do this by ourselves. We weren't created to do life alone. There's no, you know, whatever your view of the origin and the creator and all of those things are in this world, the reality is regardless of your faith track and understanding of the universe, you and I, none of us were created to do this life alone. And that especially is true when we're walking through tough moments in life.
Kath, before you do your share, can I just say something? So a couple things, it's like a key, many key things that Michael just said. So number one, this is going to be my geekiness factor. When I went to this lecture where it was a psychiatrist and a quantum physicist, you know, the universe, everything's energy. If we can imagine Michael, Kath, and I with little cartoon bubbles coming out of our head, we're not only here in this moment of now, but we have access to our ancestral knowledge. We have access even to our own shared knowledge through unseen energy. And we've got quantum physics to prove this. And so what's interesting is I was at this lecture and it was talking about the zero point energy in quantum physics. And that is when there's crisis or betrayal or anger or suffering. And what Michael just talked about, I'm going to relate it to, is at a time, you know, in the Western world, Darwin's kind of the most known for survival of the fittest. And I think it's a very Western viewpoint. And I have to admit, at different times in my life, when I went through troubles and struggles, I did exactly that. I withdrew, like, don't tell people. People need to see you strong. But what really can happen when we're at that crisis point, and this matches with quantum physics, the time of crisis is the time for the most absolute energy to be there to shift things into neutrality and empowerment. So the second thing that Darwin really didn't want us just to remember of just the survival of the fittest, he really wanted his claim to fame to be the descent of man, which is exactly what you spoke about, Michael, that we need to, as a society, we need to have altruism and cooperation for society to thrive. So we can take that into Michael's story. When he kind of grew the most is when he realized he didn't have to withdraw, that he could lean into those most trusted people and have cooperation and altruism and more love. And then the momentum, I'm sure, Michael, like after you started processing things in a more transparent, authentic way, do you feel like things shifted for you?
Oh, listen, without a doubt, because here's the thing I wish somebody had told me, you know, 20 years ago was, you know, when you're walking through these moments, it, sure, there's disappointment, there's failure, there's shame, there's guilt, there's all these emotions, and there are people around you who will be with you no matter what, who will still experience disappointment or frustration in those moments. But the funny thing is that when I did it with altruism and I did it with other people, the momentum on the rebuild or the reset or whatever term you want to put on it was always greater, because what happened is I was not resetting by myself. When I withdrew and had to do the be strong and reset and everything, I was having to generate the energy. I was having to manufacture the process, you know, and push by myself. And there's only so much in me, and none of us are really that good. And so when I took it with other people, the crazy thing was all of a sudden I got all these people around me who said, let's do it together. How can we help? How are we going to help?
How can we help you?
How are we going to stand together? It's like, oh my gosh, if somebody just told me before it was that easy, it didn't take the emotions away. It didn't take the feelings away, but it just made the rebuild process so much better and so much more enjoyable. And it took a lot less of frenetic energy and a whole lot less of manufactured, you know, and I think this is the thing that we have to recognize. Like, we live in a world where everything is, like we said, you know, media gives us a view, and then social media gives us a whole other view, right? Social media is this highlight reel. We're going to go on and talk about what's great and wonderful in our lives. And so we feel like we can manufacture all these things to share with the world. But in reality, if we would just go out there with transparency, be altruistic to who we really are, it's interesting how many more people want to be a part of that journey with us, and how much more powerful and impactful our journeys can be when we're not doing it alone. Kath?
Did you say when you're not doing it alone, right?
Correct.
That word
That's
cut
exactly
off.
Exactly right.
So when you talk about the leaning into the people and as opposed to trying to get through the period of suffering alone, and the energy it takes to recover on your own, it brings me to my story, which brings me to my childhood and Dr. Denise. When I was a little girl, my sister was born with a chronic fatal disease. And my parents were old school, and they said, your sister has this disease and it's very bad and you're not allowed to tell anyone. And I said, I can't tell anyone she's sick. And they said, no. And their intentions were pure. They felt that people didn't understand that it was genetic, that little kids would think that I was sick and that I was going to get them sick. And you're following their thinking, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
So I kept this secret, and I kept it, and I kept it, and I kept it. And it was a difficult thing to process, and it was a difficult thing to live with. It affected our daily life each and every day. And I realized one day that my cousins who lived in the community with me were telling their friends that my sister had this very serious disease. And I said, I need help. And I didn't know what to do. I was, you know, it wasn't, it was a long time ago. It wasn't before we took kids to therapists. And so it was a bright spring day, and I was on the front steps of the high school. And I thought, I can't do this by myself anymore. I can't process. I can't. And here comes my friend. I sit down next to her, Dr. Denise. I say, Dr. Denise, I have a big secret to tell you. And I told her the whole thing against my parents' wishes. And the response that I just by letting out my secret and choosing the right person to tell it to, the person who clearly, you know, she took chemistry and we took chemistry and physics and biology. By then we knew what a genetic disease was. And Denise, you know, had the highest score in every one of those classes, of course. But she also had the compassion. And I knew to choose her to tell this. And it was like this, you know, the proverbial weight coming off my shoulders of like, I can't suffer through this alone anymore. And the response she gave me, I sometimes wonder, and I probably take too much credit for it, but like, how much she was able to help me from kind of a, you know, a human to human. I will always wonder if it played into her eventually. I don't know, maybe that sparked something in you, Denise, that you decided when you went through medical school and there's all those things you could have chosen, you know, you chose to be a adult and child psychiatrist. I don't know. Did it go back to the steps? Probably not. Well, I'm giving myself too much credit, but.
No. I want to actually just see in this moment right now.
Yeah.
Because the way my neurostyle processes is I go back and I do something called astral travel. I'm an empath. So mm-hmm. I went right to that moment on the steps of Schomburg High and I have tears and they're not even tears of like sadness. They're tears of like humility. Like, I'm like, I'm going to cry. And it's not even an upset cry. It's like, Kath, what a privilege that you felt like you could trust me at that moment in time. I mean, and I'm getting tears of gratitude to know you. And I'm actually, Megan is her sister who's over in the other plane now. Megan passed away, but I want to honor the spirit of Megan before we talk anything about me. So first of all, Kath confided in me and Meg, her sister went on. You're not even going to believe this, everyone. Little Meg, before to be with her, went on to pursue law, get married, travel the world. Kath was there with her by her sister's side, her mom and her family. It's the most beautiful story of thriving in a situation where the world's telling you you're sick. And so to me,
I love it.
The fact that you shared that with me, I think we were 14 years old, Kath. We were 14 years old.
I don't remember.
And
how
so
we were,
I was in alignment at that very young age. I don't even need it to be about the Dr. Denise thing. I want it to be about this moment right now. The fact that you're choosing to share that, and I'm sitting at the table with Michael and you, who I've actually been vulnerable with. I wanted you guys to meet me and know me in this lifetime, but not as like Dr. Denise, blah, 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 straight A's, la, 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 going to India. No, the real deal is when you show up right there with the person and you're not only loving and compassionate, but you can be authentic and you can be transparent and you can suffer together and you can cry together. And it's just an honor to know you, Kath, and it's an honor that I got to know Meg.
Yeah. I mean, there's just not much more to say than that. I mean, that the lesson, you know, and it's probably a lesson I should have learned a little bit better, that you can trust other people, because so many of us are, you know, taught from whether it's our culture or you know, just a particular family style that, you know, you don't share your weaknesses. Michael said this, it's like, you know, you have to show that you're tough, and, you know, to show your weaknesses, you give your opponent something against you and you have people not choose you because you're weak. And so I probably grappled with
forever. Well, I want to say what I want to say though, that's incredibly important.
What?
And this is very important. It's the word discernment, because there are some people that will want to go in for the kill when they see your weaknesses.
Yeah.
So I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. It's like loving yourself enough to know who you can trust, because some people will want to push you when you're down. So I think it's a bit of both.
That's a great point.
You know, there's something that I was just telling a friend of mine. I said, you know, when you think about those moments when you're down and you lean into people, because you're exactly right, there's a discernment that has to come into play, because there are a lot of people who will come around when you're down, who love to be there when you're down, and they have a motivation behind it, because if they see potential in you, their deal is, how can I shape the next round of comeback? How can I interject myself into this next story, as opposed to, how can I just be present in the moment with you? And, you know, not necessarily that it's ill will, but it's not necessarily that they're there for your good. You know, it's that they're there looking for opportunity. And, you know, the truth is when people show up in our lives in those down moments and there's nothing to be gained and they're just present because that's their role is just to be there as part of our lives. That's where the real value comes from. I mean, that's very much the story you guys just told, you know, in your childhood of sharing those moments together. That's what that is. What do you have to gain in those moments other than being present with each other and knitting a friendship? There's nothing to be gained there to be in relationship. And, you know, yeah. I do think you're right, Denise. Discernment is a huge, very important part of the journey. And we develop that over time. You know, I mean, some people I think have a great intuition of that. I say a lot, my wife has really good discernment about people. You know, she'll always tell me like, be careful with that person, you know, watch out. And she's always right. I'm a lot more trusting, you know, and then some of us just, you know, partially because I am so trusting, I go through that phase of, I think my discernment at this stage of my life comes from many failures of discerning up to this point.
Well, maybe those failures I think were for the biggest... a reason, right?
Exactly.
Denise? You know, what's interesting that I really want to make the point is that the linear language, I'm going to say this again and again, because the word failure, all of our words are so precise in linear language. And so whenever we say failure, it's a learning lesson. So if we look at the universe from a neutrality standpoint, which is what Kath was alluding to, maybe there was a reason for that. So I try to have, this is where my faith in my higher power and the bigger universe is that what I've learned, and this is why we started the show, is that when there's a suffering, that's actually the biggest opportunity for growth. When we go into the suffering, and I think the important thing for everyone on the mental health standpoint is let yourself have your feelings, let yourself feel sad, feel angry, feel betrayed, but then be mindful of what are your thrive tools, fitness, faith, nutrition, to get yourself grounded, and then use discernment to align yourself with the right people. And that's what I love. Like, what's the serendipity that I met Michael Robinson filming with Darnell Stokes on Keep It Real? And then, of course, you have this show called The Alignment Blueprint. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I'm like, are you kidding me that I get to meet you and that you're an adoptive parent and so am I? Are you kidding me that we're that real first time? You're like, yeah, I lost $1 million. I'm like, yeah, I just almost lost $500,000. And like, it's like kind of cool to kind of be like not perfect. Like when I met you, it was like we knew that we had a lot of good in alignment, but it was nice to be so authentic, Michael, knowing you in the very first weekend I met you.
Right. I totally agree. And I think that was, you know, incredibly important to me too, is again, just the transparency, the vulnerability and the ability to say, you know, we call it, if, like you say, there's the linear language. Like you would look at the losses in business or, you know, whatever it is in life and say, oh, that's a failure. I don't look at it as a failure. We call it that because a lot of times I don't know other labels to put on it other than to say, I do look at it as a place where I learn, I grew. It's part of my story. You know, and in a good way, it's part of my identity. I think we've all struggled with times where the idea of failure is a bad part of identity, but that's because we've looked at failure as a negative as opposed to a positive, which is, you know, a space of learning. One of my best friends and mentors in life taught me a long time ago, failure is not a destination. It's a space we move through. And as long as we're observant, we're learning and we're paying attention as we move through that space, then failure we ever have in life.
And you know what? This is why I called upon Cap and you to be having these important discussions, because Kathleen's been in a situation for many years as a professional news reporter to help people get the news so they can know what's going on. But with this show, I want to set the intention that we're going to have Kathleen, you, and people on the show that are going to help us as a society move through space and time and the now in a way where we don't feel like we can't handle it. Like the way we started the show, where Kathy's like, people just can't do the news. So Kath, speak to that so we can just set the clear intention of what we want to accomplish with this show.
Well, I feel like everything that even just our conversation now, Denise, you've chimed in and kind of in a therapeutic way, you've helped us. You've like reestablished the word failure and kind of showed us that failure is not black and white. There's this, and I've heard you on different occasions talk about this gray area, and the gray area is what makes life work, right? It's what makes life interesting too. But what I hope to accomplish is to, I mean, it could be kind of sounding a little trite, but like focusing on making us all a little bit more civil in the way we think towards ourselves, towards others, the way we interact as a community. And for me, my little, because of what I've done as a career, I really want to empower people to be able to give them enough tools, enough thrive tools is a term you used today, to feel that they can process the news, they can vote. They, you know, I feel that you need to know what's going on in order to make educated decisions when you're voting and not vote in a tribal fashion, right? That we can empower ourselves and others to be able to process what's going on in a healthy way in doses that are appropriate for each neurostyle.
That's right. And I think, you know, absolutely. And I want to chime in behind that. You know, Denise, I want to say this as an encouragement to you and Kathleen. I want to just reiterate what you said. Things like being able to vote and staying confident in that, things to be able to process what's happening in the world in the news. I think a lot of it goes back to a big piece of Denise's drive behind what she's doing is saying, I want you to be healthy and okay with you. Your neurostyle, who you are, your identity, you've got to become confident and comfortable with who you are. Because when we do that, I can now make I'm confident in decisions that I make. It doesn't mean that I don't have questions. It doesn't mean that I don't have times where I get a little shaky. But when I can stand up and go, you know, I'm confident in who I've become. I'm confident in my journey. I'm confident in my story. And it informs the things that I do. It informs my decisions. And I don't have to sit back and second guess because I see something in the world around me. I can look at it and say, I'm processing the thing I see because of who I am. And I understand it this way because of who I am. And that's okay. Because to use the right term here, the neurostyle that we each carry is our fingerprint, is our identity. And the mosaic, the beautiful mosaic that this world has to offer to us is when we all hold that identity and cherish that identity and claim that space for ourselves and understand that neurostyle for ourselves, because then we offer more beauty to the world and more opportunity for the world to grow and more opportunity for just impact and life change. And, you know, the quality of people's lives just improves so much more when they are confident and they understand who they are, because now we can operate at our highest potential.
Absolutely.
No, I just said I loved his imagery of the beautiful mosaic. It just made me smile.
Yeah, and then we're really talking about one love and one humanity. And I think I want to kind of end this show because obviously this is a very long show, but we did it for a reason. We're doing a shout out, a mission statement, a vision to the universe. We're going to have Michael back on. But I think what we've got to remember is that fear-based thinking and scarcity-based thinking doesn't need to happen. That there's an infinite amount of love and resources. And I think the other thing that I want to do with Kathleen and with Michael is shift and show that you can grow and have material wealth, but then actually help rise people up and actually donate, do social causes. So when I get back from India, I want to have Michael back on so we can discuss that, the way you can shift and use business and entrepreneurship to make social change. And so with that being said, Michael, can you let everyone know how people can reach you? And just thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I say it all the time, Denise. It is such an honor. It really is humbling to me, you know, to look at the journey and say, man, how I end up in these conversations and opportunities is just, it's nothing short of just being blessed in life and being appreciative of the journey. And, you know, I have the opportunity and I love what I get to do working with other entrepreneurs and CEOs and companies and visionaries, to do exactly what you just said. How do we take the vision, the idea, you know, the wealth, the resources and those things and do good for the world? And that's what we do. You know, my company D5 does that. And so we love what we do. It's d5plans.com. So if anybody ever wants to check that out, they're more than welcome to. But you know, I just love what I get to do. And for me, the biggest thing is I get the opportunity to work with people who share the same vision and values of making a difference and impacting the world. And I love every minute of the journey and what I get to do.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. And also, we're going to have you back. And I'm looking forward to the other off the podcast projects that we're going to be doing together, and Kathleen as well. Yeah. So thank you for that. And Kat, how can everyone find, Michael, how can people find you on social media? Let us know.
On social media, it's real easy. It's just at Michael Robison. And I always have to spell the last name because people always misspell it. Just R-O-B-I-S-O-N. So they like to put that N right in the middle. So it's just at Michael Robison, and they'll find me on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. And so pretty simple there. And, you know, who knows what they'll see when they jump on social media, but I hope it's a value and encouragement.
Thank you so much. And Kat, how about you? How can everyone find you?
Right. Easy. I'll spell it at Kathleen with a C, C-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, O'Toole, without the apostrophe. We lost it in the digital age, O-T-O-O-L-E. And it's been a pleasure speaking with both of you today. Really has.
Likewise.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm at Dr. Denise MD, and we're going to have a lot of good stuff going on. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And you really all inspire us, so don't ever forget that. Thank you.